All right, we're doing something a little different tonight. This last Tuesday night, our school had its annual spring program, and that included our elementary choir and in our high school choir, and also some of those that are speech students and drama students that presented some things. Part of that is to get them ready. We have a competition this week. Thursday and Friday, the FCAA is being hosted here on our campus. We'll have about 200 students, guests from other schools that will be here competing in music on Thursday and speech on Friday, also academic testing, a whole variety of other things that are being done. And we try to give our students an opportunity to be able to perform, to get used to being in front of an audience and things like that. One of the things that we did, one of the speeches that was given Tuesday night and will also be done for competition this week, was done by one of our seniors, Ashley Rutherford. Ashley's a senior and she is doing a monologue called Urgency. And it was so touching and really made you think when you hear this monologue. We really felt that it would be good for our church family to see it and hear it tonight. And so Ashley, we would like for you to come and present Urgency for us at this time.
It's me, Liz. I suppose you want to know why I came to see you an hour before the funeral. The truth is, I just want to talk to you alone. Just the two of us, like we did when we walked home from school together. Here am I talking to a dead body. What am I doing? If anybody sees me, they're going to think I'm crazy. I have to do this. Amy, do you remember all those times when our discussions got around to differences between our churches? You always laughed at me because I carried my Bible around everywhere I went, remember? And I always laughed at you because you thought you had to go to church on those special church holy nights. You thought you had to eat certain foods and not eat others. Amy, I must have asked you about a half a dozen times. What do you think it takes for you to get to heaven when you die? And you always answered, well, if you're a good person and don't do bad stuff and you live a good life and do good deeds, you'll probably get to heaven. Amy, I tried to tell you this, but I always choked. I could never bring myself to tell you. Well, here's the truth. Here's what I tried to tell you a half a dozen times, but I always chickened out. Amy, it's a lie. It's all a lie. You can't get to heaven by being good enough or doing enough good deeds. Human beings aren't capable of being good enough. There, I said it. You know, I even memorized a Bible verse to recite to you, but I never had the nerve to recite it to you, so let me recite it to you now. Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Amy, Pharisees spent their entire lives trying to get to heaven by being good enough, and Jesus said they weren't good enough. And if they can't make it, there's no way any of us can make it either. I guess the reason why I never confronted you about it was because every time I mentioned the name of Jesus, you got this funny look on your face, like I was mentally deficient or something. So I sort of decided that I would wait for you to ask me about it, or I don't know, maybe I was waiting for a crisis in your life or something. I mean, I think back on it now, and I'm like, duh, no brainer. Just tell her the scripture. Tell her that Jesus himself, so then no one can get to heaven except by putting your faith and trust in him. What could be simpler? Just 30 seconds. Give her a chance to make an intelligent decision. What are you waiting for? It's not rocket science. I guess what I'm trying to say is if I had the chance to begin, I would tell you. You know? Now that I think about it, I was really stupid. Like, really nearsighted. I guess that if I was afraid that if I would tell you about the lie that you believed your whole entire life, you might get mad at me, or I don't know, not want to be my friend. So if I would have thought about it at all, given it any thought, I would have thought about the long term, the future. If I would have thought about it and just been brave, you and I could have been friends forever, in eternity. But instead of thinking about the future, I was afraid of hurting your feelings, or maybe mine. So I put it off. I waited. I thought, oh, what's the hurry? There's plenty of time. We're young. We have our whole lives ahead of us. But now you're dead. And you and I will never see each other ever again. Ever. And I'm sorry. Goodbye, Amy.
Thank you, Sister Ashley. Folks, I want you to think about that a moment. There's people slipping off into hell every day. And sadly, they're our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, because we don't take a few moments of our time to share the gospel with them. You know, what I find is the biggest problem is we're always afraid we're going to upset somebody, aren't we? Well, I'd rather have somebody upset and in heaven than happy on earth and spend eternity in hell, you know? So that's something to really think about. Thank you, Sister Ashley. That was really good. I'm going to turn everything over to Brother Parsons. I think the college students are going to share some testimonies with us tonight. So I'm just going to turn it all over to Brother Parsons, and you can close it out and do whatever you need to do, brother.
No, I'll get some of these guys to do it. Can I get a couple guys to grab the mic in this lectern and bring it down to the floor? We went to Palm Coast Baptist Church this year again. We've already kind of done one Sunday night, and we barely scratched the surface of the students, and we want to try to do some of that again tonight. I do want to remind the students to try to be, we want you to be able to give your testimony, but be as brief as you can so others can go and give their testimony for the church. And then if you, I do know it's been some time. It was all the way back to spring break, you know, so far back now, you know. It was an eternity ago, but some of them had a good soul winning experience last Thursday night. It was our privilege this past Thursday night. Let me say, before I leave Palm Coast, Pastor Larry Hobbs, they are planning that church, and a big shot in their arm. They're doing well. They followed up on many. A couple are going to their church now, and so again, it's been a thankful thing. 72 were saved that week while we were there with them, and praise the Lord, their destiny was changed, and we're going to try to get them in the local church. Several people probably, I would say at least a dozen people were just looking for a good church in the area, a good soul-winning Baptist church, and did not know that there was one being planted in the town. And so, again, trying to get them connected to that local church. Thursday night, this past Thursday night, we had the privilege of going over. It's been scheduled for a while. We went over to Bartow and went soul-winning with Brother Gentry over there and their church plant. They just got in their building. And we were able to win 20 souls last Thursday night over there for them, and several people maybe that were already saved that said they were looking for a church. And again, where we were knocking doors is it's really on the south end of Bartow towards Fort Meade in that area. And so again, a lot of people there, oh, that's so close. I've been looking for a church, and praise the Lord that we were able to connect those people. Let me say this, and after Ashley and before the soul winning marathon testimonies, adding to what my pastor, amen, to what our pastor preached this morning about the great cover-up of the gospel in our nation and in the world today, trying to cover up just the Bible, you know, it goes much farther than that. You know, there's more, even in our own lives, just what Brother Perkins said, to add to that, just we do. So many times we just think there'll be a more convenient time to share the gospel, and there's no time like the present. We always try to put off tomorrow what we ought to do today, and spiritually speaking, Jesus is coming, and there might not be a tomorrow, and praise the Lord for that, amen, for me, but for others, they may not be sure the same place I am. And let me say this to parents, and I am a parent of teenagers. Let me tell you just, you know, can I ask, I'm trying to put it in the right way. Can I say that there's a great cover-up going in our country today as well? Just, you know, they want to hide the Word of God, not just in the form of the gospel, but in the truth of it's not right for a man to touch a woman. It's not right for us to, we're supposed to dress a certain way. And again, I know I'm meddling with you and I'm messing with you tonight. I know that's what you're thinking, but let me just say, that's not the only cover-up going on in our country. There's a lot of foundational truths that our children need to have. And listen, to cover those up, you're not doing your child any justice. Just because your child's on their way to heaven, they need the same thing you got. I'm thankful for a pair of parents and the heritage that I have. They weren't perfect, but they drug me to church and they taught me what was right. Listen, I can tell you there was never a time I ever went anywhere with a girl that my parents weren't with me. That there wasn't somebody that was watching me and taking care of me. You know why they did that for me? Because they knew who I was. I was their kid. They knew who they were. They couldn't trust themselves. Amen? And so to decide you're going to trust your kids and let your kids listen, I know you may feel like I'm meddling, but listen, someday, if you applied that in your life, you'd thank me someday. You'd find me and thank me for where your kids turned out and what they did. Amen. Hey, if you got gray hair, say amen tonight. Because you're old enough to know that that's truth. Amen. Good night. I tell you what, the cover-up is affecting our churches today. And the worst thing is we're losing generation to generation to generation. Amen. Oh, boy, I tell you what, you the faces tonight, you want to make me preach tonight, don't you? Amen. Amen. I know where to find it in the book. Amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start off with sowing a marathon testimonies. And preacher wanted us to do this. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. We do have good students that are trying to train for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this is a good chance for them to get to testify to you tonight. Brother Doug, if you'd start us off.
Well, good evening. And that saying is true, save the best for last. So that's why they had me come up first. Amen. But it was a blessing to go on for Soaring Marathon this year. At this point, I've lost how many, I lost track of how many times I've been, but you always hear each year that, you know, this is the best year so far, and honestly, I think it's fair to say on the behalf of the students, it really was the best year as far as there was just a great spirit. There was a great spirit of unity, and it just seemed like no matter what was going on, we always had a positive attitude on the bus, whether it was singing, whether it was falling asleep to each other's preaching, whatever the case may be, you know, we just had a great time with it as well. And of course, Brother Parsons says that we had about 72 souls made a profession of faith, and that was a huge blessing to us, and just knowing that we were able to go and make an impact to that church and just to be a blessing to them, but also be a blessing to the lives of so many people that we got to share the gospel with. And my personal goal was, I didn't have a personal goal as number of souls I wanted to lead to Christ. I just wanted to present the gospel more more this year than I did last year. And I wasn't able to keep track of it, but I do know that I was able to share the gospel with a lot of people more than I have in previous years, and that was a blessing to me. Unfortunately, I didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord, but it was still a blessing knowing that I was able to still go out and still share the gospel with somebody and still give people an opportunity. And who knows, maybe someday that those people I got to share the gospel with, maybe they'll make a decision later on. Maybe they will trust Christ later on. We don't know for sure. You know, the Lord gives the increase, and all I'm doing, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's going to tell the people about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just want to share a quick story. And, you know, you hear a lot of times testimonies about how, you know, you go up to a house and say, Lord, this is my house. You know, this is the house that I'm going to get to lead to you. And I think it was the second morning, Brother Dylan, I think that's what it was. He was my partner, by the way, and I pray for him. He had a hard time dealing with me, but we had a great time, amen. But we got to go up to this house, and by this time, he already led a couple to the Lord, and I didn't get to lead any, you know, up to that point. I was like, you know what, Lord, this is my house. You just had that feeling, you know, that desire that, you know what, this is going to be, this person's going to get saved. So we go up to this house. We knock on this door. The lady answered the door. She seemed real nice and sweet. And I said, hello, we're from Palm Coast Baptist Church. And she goes, oh, okay, you know. So I said, well, if you died today, you know for sure you're going to heaven. She goes, no, thanks, not interested. Bam, slammed the door right in our face. And so, you know, I mean, we kind of laugh at that. But at the same time, too, you know, we're not the ones that are getting rejected. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that they're rejecting, unfortunately. And it was a blessing to me knowing that my partner got to lead a lot of people to the Lord. And it seemed like every single person that I talked to got to share the gospel with, they said no. But it seemed like everybody who he got to talk to, they said yes and they got saved. So I told him, I said, at this point, you're going to talk to everybody. Because everybody who you talk to gets saved and everybody I talk to says no. So it just makes sense to me that he gets to get all the houses. Amen. But we just had a great time. It was a great overall blessing. I can't think of anything that would be a negative impact on it. We had a great room. We had Paco and James in our room, and we had a great time, and it was a great time of just fellowship, and it was just overall a great year. And if you were thinking about going this year, you missed out on a great blessing. It was probably the best soul winning marathon that I've ever been a part of. And if you get the opportunity to go next year, I would encourage you to go. If you have any questions about it, talk to the Brother Parsons or the college, and we'd be more than happy to have you come along with us and just to be a part of that blessing, because you will be blessed. You will have a great time. Whether you get to lead people to the Lord or not, you will have a great time, and your heart will be touched, and you'll be grateful that you got to spend the opportunity of knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. So I want to thank you to the church. Thank you to Pastor Carter and Brother Parsons for allowing me to go again this year, and looking forward to see what the Lord's going to do for us next year.
Being in church, first of all, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ for making this all possible. Secondly, I'm thankful for Pastor Carter and the church and the things that they stand for. Soul winning marathon, it was my first one. I'm just a freshman. And yeah, it was my first one, and I got to lead 6 people to the Lord. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not if, not perhaps, not maybe, but that's a definite promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. And, just to see 72 souls put their faith and their trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, they placed their names in that verse, and they said, "For if I shall call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved." And it's just a blessing just to see how God worked and how God moved. And the devil just decided to move before we left. And Dr. Bradley, he was a blessing to me when he gave his charge to us that morning. He came out from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and he said, gave a list of a few people, I would say, a few groups of people, and then it says, "And such were some of you." And that just stuck out to me, because sometimes we may be trying to do right, and sometimes feel like the devil is just fighting against you, but the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." It's because of this good old book, the King James 1611, old King James 1611. It's because of this good old book, God's inspired, infallible, inspired word, because those souls were able to be saved. And how the lady sang this morning, "God's words change his life." Amen.
This was my first soul winning marathon. It was a huge blessing to be there. Before we went, everyone talked about setting goals and everything. And so I didn't know what to expect, because it was my first time. So I just, every morning I woke up and I just said, "Lord, just give me one more soul." And every morning the Lord blessed me and allowed me the opportunity to lead one soul to the Lord. So I was able to lead 4 people to the Lord that week. But the most memorable one was probably, it was the last day. And I think it was like the second road. And this was like the third house we knocked on. I knocked on the first one, Damietta the second one, because Damietta was my soul winning partner. And the first 2 houses, me and Damietta both went through the plan of salvation. And both by the end, they just were like, "No, no." And so this was the third house. And I was like, "Okay, Lord, this is the third house. I said, something's got to happen. We just went through the plan of salvation with 2 people. Something's got to happen." So I get up there, and I went through the whole plan of salvation with them. And he was so receptive and everything. I was like, "Okay, Lord, this is the house." And so I got to the end, and I said, "Well, is this something you'd like to do? Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And there was conviction all over his face. Even when we left, me and Damietta both said, his eyes were about to tear up, and it was conviction. He was convicted. And so I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, "I'd love to do that, but I grew up a Jehovah's Witness." And my heart just dropped. I was like, "No, Lord." I was like, "This is the third house we went through the plan of salvation." So I just looked at the guy, and I was like, "Well, sir," I said, "the only thing stopping you right now is yourself." I said, "Your past doesn't do anything." I said, "The only thing you have to do is accept Jesus Christ." I said, "The only thing stopping yourself is yourself." I said, "I don't want to leave your house not knowing that you're going to go to heaven." I said, "I'm going to be in heaven one day, and I want to see you there." And so he looked at me. He says, "Okay, let's do it." And he bowed his head and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. So it was a huge blessing to be there. And thank you guys for the opportunity to let us go.
So just wanted to start out by saying thank you, church, for making it possible for us to go. I really appreciate it. And I understand without your generosity and support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And it's a great blessing to be able to go, as all have shared. And I had a partner, Raekwon was my partner. And then we had the girls, Becca and Abby. And they were all just a blessing and encouragement. And because it is a soul winning marathon, you're out there. And it can seem like a long time. You're knocking a lot of doors. And sometimes you don't get to talk to necessarily a lot of people, but you know, every time you might be down or discouraged, you know, my partners, they would encourage me and they'd keep me going. And it was just a blessing. I've learned that even in soul winning, that I believe God has some divine appointments for you. You know, like I said, you knock a lot of doors, maybe not a lot of people are home, but just every once in a while, you do see this, just this one opportunity where it just becomes apparent, you know, God wanted me to be here at this time. Raekwon and I, you know, we're walking down the street, and there were three young children also, you know, walk in the opposite direction, walking towards us, and it looks like maybe they just got off the school bus. I'm not sure, but it was around that time. And so, you know, I got excited. I saw these three kids. I said, you know, this is it. You know, and we went up and talked to them, and they did get saved. They all three trusted Christ. And it was a great blessing. One of them already, you know, attended church in the area, but two said they didn't. So we got their information for the bus route and all that. But, you know, less than 5 minutes later, we're walking down the street, and it came a pouring rain. And so we grabbed our little tiny umbrellas that didn't really work, and then we hunkered under somebody's porch. But, you know, if we had been, you know, 5 minutes before, we might have totally missed those kids, or 5 minutes after, we definitely would have missed them. They would have been inside. And so it was just made it apparent to me, God showed me, you know, he wanted us to be there at that time, and it was just a great blessing to be a part of that.
Good evening. I'm Raekwon, and this is my second soul winning marathon. So when it got cold, I didn't bring a jacket, so that's my fault, but Brother Barson came through for me, so I'm thankful for that. But the most thing that I honestly enjoyed about Soul Winning Marathon was the spirit amongst us guys. And I really enjoyed hanging out with them, you know, telling the little stories, you know, Brother Morton and all of them was talking about. So that was a great blessing to me. I didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord, but, you know, Mark was the one who led those three people to the Lord. So that was a blessing to see that all three of them got saved, whatever. So
good night, church. This was my second soul winning marathon, and I'd like to thank the Lord for Lama Baptist Church and just their burden to not just see Haines City saved and want to the Lord, but to see other areas saved and want to the Lord. I'm an island girl, so I've never really met somebody who's never heard the gospel before unless they grew up in a home or a country where in a home that was a different religion. And one of the first ladies that I talked to, you could tell she never heard the gospel before. And it was a privilege to open the Bible and to just show her from God's word how she could get to heaven. She didn't accept Christ, but at least she knows how now. And it's not something that would be new to her if somebody else were to go back to that door and to knock it. The Bible says that, moreover, it is required in a man that he may be found faithful. And the Lord just showed me not just our requirement to be found faithful, but his faithfulness. I think it was on the second to last day, the Lord just really showed us that it's he who draws a person to him. And Becca, the house before that, we got to go through the whole plan of salvation. And I was walking down the street with Becca, and I just started praying in my heart and in my mind. I was like, Lord, I know somebody, the next house. And so Becca got the next house, but she got to lead a little girl to the Lord, and that was such a blessing just to see the Lord answer prayers. And it wasn't us, and we couldn't go in our own strength, but it was just the Lord who did it, and it was just a blessing to see his name honored and glorified in everything. So that was a blessing. Thank you, church.
Hello, I'm Samuel Morgan, and I am a sophomore. This was my second Soul Winning Marathon, and my first Soul Winning Marathon, I did not have the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, but I did have the opportunity to have a great time and be with someone who did. But this year, it was different. I believe it was the third day. We were knocking doors. We hadn't had very many good visits. People were friendly. They were kind, but they weren't very receptive, and we're kind of getting discouraged. Our group, nobody in our group had led anybody to the Lord. I was with Rashad and then Chantel and Miss Kelly. And a great group, and we had a great time, but we just weren't seeing the soul saved that we were, you know, hoping for, praying for. And it came the third day, and we had been praying, and I know Rashad had been praying, and we just had a burden. We talked about, it's coming. We're gonna have one. But I had the opportunity to actually lead Jackie Schiffler to the Lord. She was a 76-year-old lady, and she was couldn't even leave the house anymore. So, I mean, this might have been the last opportunity somebody would ever have had to present the gospel to her. And it was, to me, a blessing. I felt bad for Rashad, but he was the one who was presenting the gospel at the door. But he noticed that because of his accent and his strong language that she wasn't understanding well, and so he turned it over to me. And I think that is what really helped our group was, realizing that, if there's something wrong between me and the person and I'm not getting through, then allow somebody who might be able to get the message across better than I can. And he did that, and I was the one who benefited from it, so I had the best partner in the whole Soul Winning Marathon. And then another blessing was that me and one other student were asked to preach at the church on Wednesday night, and that was an honor for me and a blessing. And then so I had a wonderful time and want to thank the church and Pastor Carter.
Good evening. My name is Rashad. I was Samuel's partner. I was also with Miss Kelly and Chantel. During the Soul Winning Marathon, we didn't really get to lead anyone to Christ until, I believe, the last day. So from that day till then, we called ourselves the Soul Encouragers and not the Soul Winners. And we would meet people who were saved and we would actually, encourage them in getting to know Jesus Christ. It was one day when I was talking to a little boy and I was able to tell him about Jesus Christ. Like, he knew a little bit about it, but now he knows a bit more. And before we could even lead him to the Lord, his mom came out and said, "Hey," and they called him down the street. Other than that, it was a blessing. What I want to really just thank the Lord for was throughout the entire Soul Winning Marathon, I can see it was his grace that kept us motivated. It was his grace that kept us still trusting in him, because even though people were getting saved and we really wanted someone to get saved, I could look back and see each day it was like a fresh day. It wasn't like we woke up in defeat, or we didn't wake up discouraged. We woke up wanting to serve God and just wanting to do more. And I thank the Lord just for that, for being there for us and just allowing us to be a part of his ministry. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Chantel. This is my first Soul Winning Marathon. At first I didn't know what it was, and then I was told that I couldn't bring my phone, and I was like, what? I was like, how am I gonna survive? And so then, but when I went on it, it was really cool. I mean, like, it was honestly like the most happiest I've ever been in literal years. I'm talking years. Like, all of this like pressure on my shoulders just like lifted, and it was like, this is great. Like, these are people. I'm like, wow, people. And it was just like, I got to like learn. Even I've been with these people, my peers or whatever, for like 9 months, and it wasn't until then that I actually like got to see every single like person, like who they were. It was really cool to see that, and I didn't want it to end. I wanted it to like keep going. Amen. But
We got back Thursday. So, I mean, so, yeah.
Thanks.
Good evening. My name is Jeremiah Chamberlain. This is my first soul winning marathon. And so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I had just a great time spending time with the guys in the hotel and being told to be quiet, and it didn't really work too well, and hearing Brother Morton tell his stories and his college day stories, and it was a blast. I didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord, which I was very discouraged by that. I even talked to one guy. I went through the plan of salvation with him, and he seemed very intent and wanted to listen to me, and even had two kids running around and stuff like that, but he seemed really intent, and I got to the point where I asked him, so do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? And he was just, no, I'm good, not today. And I was just really discouraged by that. So I told him that the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the second time, accepted time. And he was just, no, I'm still good. I'm like, so I tried again. I was like, God doesn't promise us tomorrow, so you might want to get it settled today because we're not certain about tomorrow. And then again, he was just, I'm good. So I just went away from that. I was so discouraged. And my soul and partner, which was Nico, saw that. And he was like, the Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, not get people saved, but to plant the seed for them. And so that just changed my whole outlook for it, planting seeds. Even though I didn't get to see anybody saved, I was blessed by that I could be a part of something that worthwhile to be doing. And then I even opened up even further and saw my soul and partners leading people to the Lord. So I was just blessed to be a part of that. And thank you again for your thoughts and prayers while we were there. And thank you.
Good evening, I'm Renee. This is my first soul winning marathon, and I've been here my whole life. So I always got to hear all the college students from years past give their testimonies, but it was really nice to be able to go and like see for myself how the soul winning marathon actually is. And it was just such a blessing the whole time. I was with Kim, and it was just nice to be able to get closer to Kim, and because we were together the whole time. And also just like everybody's spirit was just so uplifting. And usually whenever we go on Thursday night, we go out on our way there, the guys preach and we sing songs. But then on the way back, we sing songs and we're all going crazy and we're, you know, so excited about the souls that got saved. But for the soul winning marathon, it was early in the morning and we were all like super excited and going crazy and we were really loud and singing songs on our way there and on our way back just because we were just, it was such a great spirit. We were all so excited. And it was nice to be able to get closer to each other and everything. And also just to see how God worked throughout the whole thing with the weather. Before we left, I looked on my phone for the weather there, and I saw a 100% chance of rain for Tuesday. But it rained every now and then, kind of like it did for Anniversary Sunday, just for God to remind us that it was supposed to rain. But really, it hardly rained at all. It was great. I was able to see two people get saved, and one of them, just quick testimony, this was probably the most memorable kind of special experience that I've had leading somebody to the Lord. Like, yeah, probably the most special experience I've ever had. We were about to go up to the house. Her name was Michelle. She was 19. She was my age. She got saved. But we were about to go up to the house, and the van came around, and they picked us up for a bathroom break. And then whenever we got back on the van, we didn't get back in, like, in the same order. And whenever they were about to let people off on that road again, whenever we came back, my group was kind of towards the window, like, not towards the door. And they were going to let another group off. But Brother Parsons, and I'm glad he said this, he was like, no, whoever had this street, get off and finish your street. So we all piled out of the van and got off on the street. And the very first house that we knocked on whenever we got off the van was Michelle's house. And I went up to the door and I, you know, invited her to church, asked her, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And as soon as I asked her, she just shook her head no. And for a little while, I thought maybe she was just messing around with me, because, like, sometimes still, you know, people will joke around with you and be like, oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But she was so serious. The whole time, she just listened to everything I said. She agreed with everything I said. And when I got down to the end and I asked her if she wanted to be saved, she just right away, she was, yes, I want to get saved. So I went through the prayer with her. And whenever I looked up, when I was done, she had tears in her eyes. And she started telling me that she was going through a lot of hard stuff at home, and she said, you know, I don't get this at home. My parents don't talk about this. I have a Bible that I read, and I pray on my own, but my parents don't talk about this, and I have anxiety and depression. She was saying she was just going through a lot, and she just started crying, and then me and Kim were crying, and it was just really special to see how, like, you know, God had set that there for us to be there, like divine appointment. And me and Kim had been praying about that before we left, was God, just give us some divine appointments with people. And she just kept on saying, thank you for coming today. I'm so glad you came by. And I've never seen somebody so appreciative. Like, she was just so ready to get saved. And she actually stepped out the door and gave me a hug too. And I just, that was so sweet to me. But I really hope that she went to the church also. So just pray for her. Her name was Michelle Ortiz. But yeah, that was really special to me, and I'm so glad that we were able to go. Thank you, church, for praying for us the whole time, and yeah.
It's too high. Okay, good evening. My name is Kim, yeah. For Solvening Marathon is the first time for me, and it's like really great time for me. Like Chantal said, the first time that we cannot bring phone, and I said, we cannot bring phone the whole week. How can I contact to my family? But it's like really blessing that we don't have phone, so we really enjoy time with each other, like our roommate, our Solvening partner, and our Solvening group. And it's really great that God, he used me. I can lead two people to the Lord. And the first that I lead to the Lord is really great. It's on my birthday. And see, I knock. That is the last door that we knocked second day. She come out, and I talk with her. And her mom inside the house just tried to call her, go in the house, and close the door. But she just stand and listen to me. And I share the gospel with her. And finally, she got saved. And the second that I lead her to the Lord is, I think it's the last day. Oh, no, before the last day. And it's really great. The first, I don't want to go in that house because I saw about four cats in that house, and I don't like cats. And it's just like what Renee said, oh, that's fine, I'll stay here with you. So I just talked to her and share the gospel with her, and she also got saved. And she said she had peace in her heart that she know that she will go to heaven. And it's really great blessing that God, he used me to lead people to the Lord. Even though, like, at the college, sometimes when I talk to the people, they don't understand what I mean. But God, he used me to lead people, like, they understand what I mean like that. So it's great blessing. And thank you for your prayer, too.
You next time, Bavon. Amen. I do hope you guys have been encouraged. I do hope it encourages you to do two things, to pray for those that are going out soul winning, and also to go yourself. Amen. And it's a great blessing to share the gospel with people, and we did encourage them. I don't know how it is that you present the gospel to others, but one of the things that we'll get in the habit of doing is we'll start off with, can I take the Bible and show you how to be saved? And we try to be graceful on that sometimes, but we give them an out before we ever read them scripture. And so we counseled them very quickly to, you know, go as far. That's why a lot of them said we went through the scripture with them, but they didn't receive Christ, because we told them, you know, when they said they didn't know they were on the way to heaven, I say right here in 1 John 5:13, amen. And they would go in the plan, because it's the word of God. It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And amen. And even if they don't receive Christ, if you can read half of what they need to do to get saved to them, boy, it'll start to convict and work in their heart, even if they won't receive it or hear it that day. And so no matter where you're at or what walk of life you're in, if you, you know, we've, pastors has encouraged our church, you know, if you can't get out and pound the pavement as others, I thank you, church, for praying for us. And I know many of you are faithful to stick a track and in your any bill that you're paying and things like that, and driving through, you know, those people at McDonald's need to get saved too. Amen. There's track racks in the back of our church, and almost every one of our exits, there's tracks here, and we want you to use them. We print them so that we can get the gospel out. Amen. And so again, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us as a church and for you to load up on them. Amen. They're there not to be pretty and be a wall hanger. Amen. But to be put out and to be put in the hands of people. So many. I encourage you to read about all the people that have, that nobody even handed them a tract. Amen. Brother Porter picked one up off the street. And again, blowing around. Somebody got handed and somebody threw it down on the ground. And it just blew and blew and blew. And then he picked it up and read what was there. And listen, the Word of God has power no matter what piece of paper it's on. Amen. And I beg you tonight, listen, you know, that it is a great cover-up. And so let's uncover it. Amen. Let's shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do our part. I want to say thank you. I know I'm over time and we'll pray. And we'll get dismissed, but I just want to tell you how much I appreciate this church. Is we have a Bible college, but we are a church that trains young people to go out and do what we do here. And so I thank you so much. You know that the age of the church should be the one that trains. I believe in that. There's a lot of colleges and Christian colleges that train young people to do a lot of good things. But listen, the church should be the one that trains preachers and teachers and missionaries to go out around the world and send them out. Not just a college. It's a college that's sent. It's a church college, if you can get that, okay? And again, it's a difference. And I pray that you'll think about that and understand it. And I know many of you that have been here for years, you can say amen to that. And you have invested yourself in it years and years and years. And I pray that you will continue to do so. These young people, the world is trying to get them. And even the ones that have come into the college, one of the easiest places to backslide and to slip away from the Lord is in Bible college, because this becomes a textbook to them and not God's love letter to them, not a book that God wants to give them a roadmap for their life. And I beg you to pray for them and to encourage them, because it isn't easy. It's not an easy road. That the devil wants to knock them out before they even get in the work. Amen. And I tell them they're already in the work, because we work them here, don't we? Amen. We work them. Then I believe that's good training. And so if you would stand with me tonight, we'll be dismissed in prayer. We've talked all about